Well, thank you for inviting Barbara so that I could come. It's been that way not my whole life, but most of my life. And I think, yes. She's sitting by Carol, her sister. She was the member here in her family, and I came, and some of the people who were then are still talking about me. I just saw Von Thompson and Russell Barber a couple weeks ago, and they're still spreading bad things about me. But I think Corey ran a picture in the paper of us, and I told him that was probably not the right thing to do. Most people probably couldn't recognize me. Barber hasn't changed that much. I've gained a little weight since I was here in 1967, and I was on the scales the other day, and I was sucking in my stomach, and Barbara came by, and she said, "You know that doesn't help." And I said, "I beg to pardon, it does." She said, "It doesn't help, Johnny." I said, "It does. It's the only way I can see the numbers on the scales." So a few things have changed over the years, but it is a pleasure to be with you this morning. Never was one to follow tradition, so I'm breaking tradition. I know it's homecoming. You're supposed to preach about we're pilgrims, we're strangers, we're passing through. This is not our home. We're seeking a city that's not made by earthly hands, but our Heavenly Father, which all those things are absolutely true, folks. And we are looking forward to that destination. But the older I become, the more I realize that my life is about the journey, not about the destination. And so I enjoy my relationship with Jesus Christ. I look forward to each day that He grants and gives me. And so I want to talk today, which I will put some homecoming in it towards the end of the message, all right? But I want to talk about sowing and reaping, because really that's what we do. In Mark chapter 4, verses 26 through 29, Mark chapter 4, verse 26 through 29 will be our passage of Scripture this morning. Give you just a moment to find that. "And he said," this being Jesus, "so is the kingdom of God. If a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, and after that," in this case, "the full corn in the ear." In verse 29, "But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he put in the sickle, because the harvest is come." Now, I can't preach like Pastor Corey. He certainly knows God's Word, and he's an artist, and he paints this and breaks down the Scripture and dissects it. I'm more like a paint roller. I just kind of spread it on broad and hope you get something out of it, all right? But in Mark chapter 4, it deals with God's Word. It talks about spreading the Word and sowing the seed, which represents God's Word. It talks about the receptivity of this Word. Some folks are ready to receive God's Word. Some people are simply not. And I'm going to leave that in God's hands. How about you? Now, I would like to shake them and wake them up. And, you know, we've all said I'd like to beat some God's truth into them, but we can't do that. And so when it's talking about the ground, some stony ground, some thorny ground, some's good ground, but we leave that up to God. Because as we plant God's seed in people's heart, as we put His Word in their heart, at some point in time, I really believe, maybe even unexpectedly, that seed is going to first put forth a blade. And then that blade is going to turn into fruit. And then one day, the harvest of our lives is going to come. And so, we're thankful that God is in charge of those things. But here in these verses, it talks about, and it's really in depth, it's profound, it's deep in theology, as deep as I can get. A man sows some seed, he goes on with his life. He sleeps, he wakes up. He sleeps, he wakes up. Days pass, and pretty soon a blade appears, and then an ear, and in this case, then the corn appears, and the harvest is ready. And I don't know about you, but somehow that's my life. 49 years ago, I came to Poto. I didn't know where it was. I probably didn't know how to spell it. But I came here. And now 49 years later, I've slept some time. I've spent some time awake. Hopefully I have sown some seeds. Hopefully good. Some bad. And I hate to say it, but somehow I'm getting closer to the harvest time, to the going home time, to the homecoming time that we are celebrating today. But regardless of your age today, this kind of sums up your life. Each and every day you make decisions. You make choices. You decide which direction you are going to take each and every day of your life. And your life, like mine, one day will pass very quickly. And so we want to take a look at some of those decisions today. Whether those are good decisions or bad decisions, each and every day of our life we will make those decisions. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8, you all know the passage of Scripture. It talks about, "Be not deceived, for God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that also shall he reap." And so if we sow to the flesh, the Bible says in these passages of Scriptures that we will reap corruption. But it also says that if we sow to the Spirit, we will reap eternal life. And that's what I want today. I want eternal life, and I hope that's what you want for your life. And so if we sow to the flesh, we reap corruption. If we sow to the Spirit, we reap eternal life. Those decisions are made, those directions are taken each and every day of our life. Now some people, and I don't know which category you fall in, I'm going to assume you fall in the good decision group, but some people make good decisions. And it seems like they always just follow that, I'm going to call it the high road. The Bible calls it that road, it's called straight. And it leads us to eternal life. And some people make good decisions throughout their life, and good things just seem to grow. They live their life, and have you ever seen people you just thought, man, I don't know why or how they are so blessed each and every day of their life. Well, I'm just going to make this real simple today, brothers and sisters. They make good decisions. And whether we're talking about in the spirit or the flesh, if you make good decisions, normally good things follow. If we make bad choices, and I'll share that in a moment, normally those things, well, they're not real productive. But anyway, throughout their life, they reap the blessings. And then some people make poor choices. I've made a few of those in my life. None of us are perfect except Jesus Christ. Is that correct? And so I've made some poor choices, some poor decisions. Now, I'm not trying to make a life of it because it's just not a very good life. I don't enjoy that. Every time I make a poor decision, for some reason, I don't know why, bad things just seem to follow. Have you ever done that? Sure you have. Now, we may not admit to it because we're in church and we're supposed to be perfect in church. But when I make poor choices, poor things crop up, grow in my life, and I harvest those bad things. I don't know how we can take something as simple as God's Word and make it so complicated in our lives. Do you? You do not have to be a rocket scientist to understand this sowing and reaping scriptures and stuff in God's Word. And it's really exciting. But I've had people come to me and say, "Pastor, I can't figure it out. I don't understand what's going on. I can't get a break." I said, "Well, what have you been doing with your life?" I won't go into all of it this morning, but somehow they're making some poor choices. They're really on that road that the Bible talks about to being broad and leads to destruction. And yet they can't figure out why things are happening in their life that they're not enjoying, they're not embracing in their lives. But really, this is exciting stuff. Who would have thought that even in the flesh, if we sow good things, we reap good things? If we make bad choices, we reap bad things. It's really simple. It's not as complicated as we try to make it. It's God's Word. But even more scary than us making it complicated is that in this culture, in this generation, so few people even knows what God's Word says. I had a lady come up to me in my church here a few weeks ago, and she was telling me a story. She had a cousin that was a meat processor. He was a butcher. And if you all know, in deer season, these processors, these butchers, they process a lot of deer, right? And so he put a sign up in his shop. "Quote me John 3:16, and your deer processing is free." Now, I didn't look up and see how many deer are harvested in our state alone, but thousands. One person could quote John 3:16. Now, we're probably shocked at that, aren't we? Because let me tell you, it wasn't Russia. It wasn't San Francisco. It wasn't New York, which we think that, you know, the coast there where the extreme people live. It was in northeast Oklahoma, within 30 miles of my church, that only one person during a whole deer season could quote John 3:16. Now that's sad, because how do people know how to plant and sow good seeds unless they know God's Word? I mean, you may give it a valiant effort. You may give it your best shot, but folks, we're going to fail without God's Word, His direction, and the Holy Spirit guiding your life and my life. But what's even more sad is I have at least come to the belief that that's not only outside of these walls, that many times in God's church, among God's people, we do not know God's Word the way we should. It's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. It's how we know how to navigate this life so that we can fulfill God's desires and have the blessed life that I believe He wants us to have. There was a man many years ago in my church that unfortunately he was not very good with marriage. He had three or four marriages that failed, and he married a lady, and then they got a divorce, and then somewhere he found another lady, and they were married a while, and he got a divorce, and then he found another lady and got a divorce. And I finally talked to this gentleman, or he was willing to talk to me, and I said, "Man, where are you finding these wives?" Now, he came to my church. And he said, "Well, every time I get a divorce, I go to the bars and I try to find a wife." Now, come on, folks. Does that make any sense? Is that even logical? And I asked him, I said, "How can you rationalize this?" And he said, "Well, I just figured that after we got married," basically, I'm going to say after they said "I do," that he thought they would settle down, they would go to God's house, and they would have a happy marriage. Well, God's Word says that if we sow to the flesh, we're going to reap corruption, decay, deterioration. Our lives are not going to be good. I would like to tell you a happy ending. Finally, he found a lady in church and got married and everything's happy. He just finally gave up, folks. He's still single this day. But finally, he's serving the Lord. So something did come out of it that is good. But you've seen these people. They make bad decisions, bad choices. Their life is just a mess. And they come to you as God's children. They come to the pastor and they pour their hearts out and they're broken. And they really are. But they just can't figure out what's going on. They don't know how to enjoy life. I hope you enjoy life. I hope and my prayers are that you love your relationship with Jesus Christ. Each and every day you get up and life is exciting. It's good. And you're just seeing where God's going to bless you next and encourage you next. And where He's going to lead you and what He's going to do in your life. Because I believe that's the way life should be. But for many, even inside God's house, that's just not the case. Over 36 years, I've seen people profess to be God's children. And I'm certainly not judging them. But they pursued everything else in life. Everything else seemed to be more important. Everything else was number one, and God was somewhere down the list. I see some of you shaking your heads. You know that's not productive, right? Yeah. Thank you, brother. It's just not good. And then their children start growing up. And these parents have planted unfaithfulness and unrighteousness before their children. And then their children begin to make bad decisions and bad choices. And they go down that road that's called broad. And it's leading to a path of destruction. And they come into my office, and I'm honest, brother and sister, their hearts are broken. And they just can't figure out where they had gone wrong. Where these children needed an example of faithfulness, and dedication, discipleship, determination. These children needed to know that God is really real and He's really alive and He wants the best for our lives. And they cannot figure out what went wrong. May I share with you and I today? We cannot afford. Listen to me. You and I cannot afford to fail. I'm not talking about us and our home going, our homecoming. I'm talking about we cannot have failed, not afford to fail, not only for you and I, but we cannot afford to fail for our children. And some of you older ones like me are grandchildren. They need a light in this dark world. They need an example to follow. And I'm just going to be real frank with us this morning. Even though my name's Johnny, I'm going to be real frank with us this morning. We cannot profess to be something we are not. Because then they will, as the Bible said, believe a lie and be damned. I had a talk with my grandson. 49 years ago, I came here as an 18-year-old boy. My grandson just went to college. And before he left, I said, "Son, you're going to be leaving home. You're going to be leaving your home church. And there's a lot of temptation out in that world, and you cannot afford to make decisions that will bring heartache and wreak destruction in your life for years to come, because now you're on your own." Now, the encouraging words was, he told me, "Grandpa, that's just not who I am." And I said, "It may not be who you are, but I'm going to pray for you every day anyway. I'm going to sow some seeds of prayer. I'm going to invest in your life." And I'm going to check on you too. Yeah. But I can stand before us today, brother and sister, and say that, and please take this as it's meant. I say it humbly and by the grace of God. My grandson's never seen a drink put to my lips. My grandson has never heard a curse word come from my mouth. I cannot afford to be a stumbling block to my family. Because if and when something goes wrong, they cannot come back to me and say, "Well, Grandpa, that's the way you were. I just thought I was a Christian like you." See, we reap what we sow, what we plant. Each and every day of our lives, we get up and, uh-oh, my thing fell off here. I'll put it in the pocket. Sorry about that. Each and every day we get up and we have a choice to make. We can sow good things into people's lives, or we can be that bad example, which doesn't do you any good nor the people that you're sowing into their lives. Now, I told my grandson, I said, "Listen, I have to tell you this." He told me, "Grandpa, that's not who I am." And I said, "That's good." And I told you I was going to be praying for him, and I was going to be checking on him even. But I've invested too much. So have you and your children and your grandchildren, your families and your friends. And we want what's best for them. And we've traveled that road. We've made some poor decisions. We made some bad choices. And every time something bad crops up, something bad happened, my life is not happy. I'm not fulfilled. I don't feel good about Johnny when I make bad choices. And so my encouragement today is that we make wise choices so we enjoy this life. I'm looking forward to going to heaven, aren't you? But I'm going to be honest, I'm not ready to go right now. I still feel like that I have some things that I can accomplish and do, and I can be a benefit to a few people in this life. But I pray and I worry, because sometimes we do make bad choices. We do make bad decisions. Now, I'm going to tell you, folks, in Galatians chapter 5, I'm not going to read you these scriptures. In Galatians 5, 19 through 21. In 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. If you have a pen, write them down. I'm not going to read. This is your homework. I encourage you to go home and read God's Word. Galatians 5, 19 through 11. 19 through 21. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. There is a list that we do not want to be on. Matter of fact, if you go to these scriptures, it will tell you on this list that these people will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, when you go home and read it, you can be mad at Johnny if you want to be, but I didn't write this. The Apostle Paul did, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He did it by God's direction. And so there's a list that if we sow bad things, we will reap bad things. And God's Word says we will not inherit the kingdom of God. We cannot afford to be on that list. And we cannot afford to call ourselves the children of God if we are on that list. Because the result will be, even as I said with my grandson, our family and our friends will believe because we are okay, they are okay. And only Christ is worthy of that recognition. The only reason I am okay today and you okay today is not because of me or my good works, but it's because of Jesus Christ. Which brings me to the homecoming part of my message. 49 years ago, I came as a kid to this town. Poto, Oklahoma. If my memory serves me right, I had driven through here one time, and I don't know why. It was with my parents. But I had come through here one time. But basically, I didn't know where it was. I didn't know who you folks were. But by God's providence, and Pastor Corey spoke about you're here today by God's providence. You may not know why you came today, but you're here by God's providence. And by God's providence, I started coming to the First Free Will Baptist Church of Poto, Oklahoma. Now, all the young boys in this church will say that providence was Barbara Clark. And in the story in the homecoming part, you will find in just a few moments that was true. Because on that list I told you go lead, the liar will not inherit the kingdom of God. So I can't tell you I was coming here for that reason. But he led me to this church. And in his church, I found a whole group of people that invested in my life, that planted good seeds. I don't know how else to describe myself, but I was a young punk 18-year-old kid, okay? And why these people began to love me, I have no other reason except they love God, and therefore they had to love me. Now I can tell you they didn't like my ways. But they began to invest in my life and sow seeds of godliness. And they cared for me. Bailey and Barbara Thompson. I played baseball. Bailey was an umpire. Now, I don't know. I'm just assuming this. He probably received some criticism because he was pastor and he shouldn't be umpiring baseball. But let me tell you, folks, he was around a lot of college kids that needed Jesus. Okay? Bailey and Barbara began to invest in my life. My wife really failed me this morning. She didn't put a handkerchief in my coat pocket, folks. Man, she takes good care of me, but she failed me this morning, all right? I would tell you I'm sorry that I'm a little emotional, but I'm not. These people like God loved me when I was unlovable. They prayed for the best for me. Now, not all the time. Barbara's pastor, Bailey Thompson, went to my future mother-in-law and father-in-law's house and said, "You better get her away from that boy." Now, that's the truth. I know that for a fact. But you know what? When somebody loves you, they will tell you the truth. And I said I wasn't going to do this, but I'm going to cast out a few names, and when you do, you leave somebody out, and I apologize. And I can't name the whole church. It's been 49 years again, folks. But these people begin to speak life and truth and sow seeds in my life. There's Bailey and Barbara in there. There was the Barbers, and there was the Kerbo. I see Anita sitting there this morning. There were the Ritters, and I saw Gilbert back there earlier. And you know, most of the people I'm probably talking about know, most of them's gone on to reap their reward to be with Jesus. There was the Stones. I think David was in our wedding. He was just a little bitty guy then, but anyway. The Burtons. Saw Diane, where she at the piano a while ago. And I don't know. There are the Rices. And there was an old plumber. You sat back over here in the old church. Dave, is that his name? Yeah, Dave. I'd forgotten his name until just thought about it there. I don't know. I probably left some of you out that's here today. Oh, yeah, Jim and Jan Cook. Yeah. I don't know what Jim was sowing in my life, but Jan did. I can speak real highly of Jan. Jan, oh, there's Jim way back here. Still a good friend to this day. Man, God just put so many good people in my life. See Jerry here today. Kind of knew him in high school. I was in junior college, and we kind of knew each other back when. Jan, she was Barbara's good friend. I see her there today. And just so many people. I'm going to quit reminiscing, folks. But if you got the message, the message is they took me in. They began to sow good seeds in my life. And all you who never thought I would amount to anything, and Barbara and my marriage never would last. All right? But it never would have lasted without, first of all, God. And second of all, you kind people from this church. You never thought I'd amount to anything. I never thought I'd amount to anything. The good news is I haven't. But I love the Lord. And He loves me. And I get up every day thankful that I'm one of His children. It was in not this church, it was the old church that burned, the one that used to have the steel posts in the middle. Some of you old timers can, huh? Wasn't in this church, it was in that church that on one revival night, the preacher was preaching, and I hate to tell you, but I was on that list that I told you to go home and read. All right? I had wandered away from my commitment to Christ when I was 12 years old, and I was now on that list. And during revival, at the invitation, God called Brother Bob Thompson to be a preacher. Now, I don't know how, because I was setting up closer than Bob was. I remember Bob was behind me. True story, Bob, right? God had called him to preach that night. He came by, grabbed me by the arm, drug me to the altar. He thought, man, anybody, any 18-year-old kid in college going to God's house must love Jesus. He didn't know I was here because I had a girlfriend. And he drug me to the altar.
And while he was praising God would use me, I was praying that God would welcome me back into his family. I rededicated my life at the First Free Will Baptist Church of Poto. Not by choice. Bob, I guess I was Bob's first convert. I never thought, might be his only convert. I never thought about that before now. But God works in mysterious ways. You might be thinking, man, why did I come? I can't give you an answer why I come, but watch out. God may work in mysterious ways this morning. That seed may begin to grow and sprout up, and it might come full ear of corn. And then when harvest time comes, well, I'll get to that too a moment. Let me go on then. I have to close. I gave you a list. Galatians chapter 5, 19 through 21, 1 Corinthians 6, 9, 11. You say, Pastor, you keep repeating that. I do. I want you to write it down. I want you to go home. I want you to read it. But please don't forget to read verse 11. That's the really important part. Now, there's a list you do not want to be on because those people will not inherit the kingdom of God. But verse 11, can't hardly read this morning. My eyes are a little blurry. Says, and such were some of you, but you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God.